alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? And the herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of the waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord from the book of Joel. Being correctly read, that is the book of Joel, chapter number 1, verses 15 through 20. And I want to preach this morning, if God will be my helper, on this thought: empty silos and starving sheep. Empty silos and starving sheep. Verse number 17, the Bible said, the seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. A garner is a silo, a feed silo, a storehouse, if you will, for grain. And he said that the garner is laid desolate. Verse number 18, he says, how do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Verse 20 said, the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Empty silos and the starving sheep. My heart has been burdened to preach what I'm trying to deliver to you this morning for several days. I slept and dreamed about it all night on Friday night. Woke up with burden on my heart and tears in my eyes, and go back to sleep and dream about it again. Wake up again burdened and with tears singing eyes. And that night God spoke to my heart and dealt with my soul concerning this subject. It seemed all night long. And the more I slept, the tired of God, and the more frustrated I was, and the more difficult it was for me. But when I woke up then on Saturday morning, I wrote down the title that God had laid on my heart for this message concerning this subject. And I had no idea what I'd do with it, Brother Eddie. And I called Brother John during the day, and I just felt like maybe he had something that might help me, and he didn't help. And I tried to call and talk to Brother Michael Dollar, and he couldn't help. And I just felt like my heart was burned, but I didn't know what to preach with. And God directed me this passage of Scripture. And the Lord showed me these empty silos and the starving sheep. And the days that Joel prophesied, there was a great famine in Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. And it is believed that Joel was a priest, that for much of his ministry and his book of prophecy is directed towards the priesthood that in the days in which he lived. Joash then, in the same time period, was the king of Judah during the ministry of Joel. And he was unique in his reign. And Joash the king was one to begin to reign when he was 7 years old. And all of his brothers and all of his sisters were killed by their wicked mother, who wanted the kingdom for herself. And she killed all of them except for Joash. And Joash was hidden by one of his maidens, by one of the servants of the Lord in the household of the king. And they hid Joash and hid a woman which nursed him. And he was raised up until he was 7 years old. His wicked mother, Atalia, got her way. But now by the time that he was 7 years old, the priest of the house of God, Jehoiada, took Joash and declared him king and anointed him at 7 years old to be king over Judah. Now this is important, because God's word promised us and promised David that the root of his kingdom would never die, that it would never go away, that it would be preserved unto the Lord. And here it was. It was almost, the lineage of David was almost cut off. All of them were killed except for one named Joash, the
of God preserve that kingdom, and that lineage can bring the Lord Jesus through. And Joash was 7 years old, began to reign, and he reigned under the direction and instruction of the high priest Jehoiada. And from the time he was 7 years old, he reigned 40 years, at least 30 years, my friend, at least until rather he was 30 years old. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And during all of those years that he was directed by Jehoiada the priest, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All the days of the priest, the Bible said it. But then at least 23 years later, we find that Jehoiada died. Amen. But while Jehoiada was living, Joash even led an effort to repair the house of God in Jerusalem. He had a mass fundraising campaign built again and repaired the house of the Lord and the temple of God, and sanctified the priests and the Levites, and turned God's people back unto the Lord. And yet he never tore down the high places. He never tore down the groves. He never tore down the idols. And when Jehoiada died, Joash was about 30 or 35 years old. And for the last 10 to 15 years of his reign, and my friend, he lived wickedly and turned against God. He allowed the young men and the princes of Judah to catch his voice and catch his mind. And he heeded their voice. And Israel once more began to worship idols in the groves, and began once more to worship a false god in the high places of Judah, my friend. And they offered sacrifice unto these idols, and their lives went a mess because of idolatry. And that's about the time that Joel steps on the scene. God's doing everything he can do to bring Joash back to him. He's doing everything he can to bring the people of Judah back to him. Yet they will not listen. He sent famine, he sent peril, he sent sword to get them to repent. Zechariah the priest, the son of Jehoiada, has stood up in the book of 1 Kings chapter number 16, and he told Joash, he said, "Your sin stinks in the nostrils of God. All the idolatry stinks in the nostrils of God. God's going to send destruction on this land." Joash didn't like it, and he had Zechariah's head cut off and killed for preaching the truth of the gospel to him. And he wasn't had it. Turned against the very God that he had served all these years. Turned against the very God that had preserved his life. Turned against the very God that had put him up and established him as king over Judah. And yet he had this priest Zechariah stoned and killed, my friend, stoned and killed for preaching the message of God. God even sent Syria into Jerusalem to humble old Joash, and there they destroyed Jerusalem and laid waste its gates and tore everything all apart. But he would not repent. Finally, a band of Joash's own servants killed him as he lay in the bed with pneumonia. They killed him to redeem the blood of Zechariah the priest whom Joash had slew. Then Joel steps on the scene. And Joel is on the scene in the days of the famine, here in the days of the perils, here in the days of the sword, here in the days when God was trying to get Joash to repent and get right with God. And he preached to the priest. And he preached to the kings, and he preached to the nation of Judah, and yet they would not repent in Joel's days. And this is what he had to say. He said, God is sending a famine to get you right with God. Joel prophesies in the midst of the judgment of God on the nation of Judah for their idolatrous lifestyle. His prophecy tells us that God sends a great famine to get them right with God. He said there were things were so bad that the ground was given no crops. The gardeners of the silos were laid desolate. Verse 17, he said they were laid to the ground, that the barns were broken down, and that the corn was all withered away. He said the beasts of the field were starving to death, and that the sheep were made desolate in verse 18, and that the beasts were thirsting to death in verse number 20. How surely, my friend, this is the case today. How the local storehouse has always represented the house of God, and yet the silos in our village, and the sheep are starving to death. Have people in this land hungry and thirsting for something that's real. Have something with power. Have something that's not a puddle and not a fake. And they're going to the local storehouse. Going to the feed silos and grain bins. Looking for something that's real. But they find nothing. We've got empty silos and starving sheep. It's not a famine of food and water, but it's a famine of hearing the word of God. And the reason we're not hearing it is because people are not appreciative. I'll tell you, we need in our day what's more, to be able to eat from the table of God, eat from the things of the Lord, eat bread that's sent from heaven. So we're living in a day of empty silos and starving sheep. And God has sent one thing after another. Terry, the tax He sent. He sent to my friend war and famine and peril and sword. He sent trouble and tribulation. He even sent Bill Clinton to try to get us right with God. And this nation always does seem worse and worse. And go further and further away from God. I don't know what you've been seeing. All I've heard for the past few months is that America's having a revival because a sudden nut drove a plane through a couple of towns up there New York. And they said, I've heard more about God since that happened than ever before. Yeah, but you ain't heard much about Jesus. And then you'll come and everything comes along. And when they talk about God, they mean it in generic sense. And I've known God like the worship on Mars here. I'll tell you, today we're living in a day where we need to sign our feet on the master's table. Get bread from heaven. And Jesus is the living bread. I'll tell you, we should want more. Fill our souls with tenderness. And know how our souls in the goodness of the Lord. If we have a bread that comes from heaven. Oh, my Lord, how we need to fill the storehouse with the preaching of the word of God again. And feed the people of this world with the bread of heaven that is Jesus. That the sheep once more might be filled. We're living in a day of empty silos and starving sheep. We're in the day of Laodicea. A day where the church thinks that we're rich and increases with goods and have need of nothing. And knoweth not that you're poor and blind and cold and miserable and naked without God. We're living in a day of lukewarm churches. Where, my friend, they've got just enough God to make them look like a church, but not enough God to make them live like a church. We're living in a day, my friend, where preachers have got a pretty enough sermon to keep your interest for 25 or 30 minutes, but not enough power to change your life from today and forevermore. We're living in a day where church buildings are beautiful enough to attract the crowds, but they ain't got enough God to change the hearts of men. Oh, my Lord, a barn's nothing without feed in it. A silo's nothing without grain in it. And in our days, we've got empty silos and starving sheep. I see my critter desert there and there land, my friend, and this world's in desperate need of revival of bread and water again, the precious word of God, and fill the blessed Holy Ghost of God. I'll tell you though, even in this dying barren place, even in the wilderness, God will lay down from heaven. Even in the desert, He'll send an oasis. Wow! Even in the grave, pastorless lands, God will direct His sheep along through the waters and through the fires. God leaves His dear children alone. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll tell you, there's bread, there's food, there's water, there's help in Him. There's help in Him. Our silos are empty and our sheep are starving. But today I want to exhort you to seek bread of the Lord and to ask water of our God. He will hear and He will give water to the thirsty and bread to the hungry. Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse 3 says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 55 and 1 said, Ho, everyone that first hath come to the waters, ask ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He said in the book of Joel, as Joel went on with his prophecies, he told them about their destruction in chapter 1, but he gave them hope in chapter 2. He exhorted them to repent and return to the Lord. He said in verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that thine heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous of his land, and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. I thank God there is bread. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bringeth forth their fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Not an empty barrel, but one running over with bread from the Lord. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. That's dealt wondrously with you. And thy people shall never be ashamed. I tell you, you may be hungry today, and it may seem like a dry, barren land, and it may seem like there's not any bread, and it may feel like you are in a barren place, but it doesn't have to be that way. There's help for you, there's bread for you, there's water for you, there's hope for you. Come to Jesus, waiting for you. Let him be your sustenance, let him be your hope and strength, and God will fill your hungry soul.
The Word of God said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're blessed if we're hungry. Today you may think you're hungry and this is barren, dry and land when it comes to spiritual things. But count yourself blessed, for if you shall hunger, you shall be filled. You may feel thirsty today, thirsty and longing for a day and a time when you can get in one of them old time meetings, where they tear the house down again and folks get saved and get right with God. And where mama can cry and daddy can shout. And the Holy Ghost of God can move amongst the young as it convict their hearts unto salvation. And you may be thirsting for that, but if you're thirsty this morning, count yourself blessed, for if you'll thirst, you shall be filled. Amen. He that hungered thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You're blessed if you're hungry. You're blessed if you're thirsty, because that means you still have a desire for the things of God. And if you'll hunger for it, and if you'll thirst for it, then God will give it to you. I want to say this morning, he'll fill us lost. He'll fill us when we're lost on the backside of the desert. He'll fill us when we're lost on the backside of the desert. I've thought about 2 Kings on or 2 Samuel chapter 9 on Mephibosheth was down in Lodabar. The name Lodabar means the land of no pasture. David takes over his king over the land of Israel, and he said, is there anywhere at the household of Saul that I might show some kindness to him, Lord Jonathan's sake? And he said, well, there's one, and he's about the worst we got. I said, he's crippled on both of his feet. He lives down there in Lodabar, the land of no pasture. He's got a herd of sheep, but he ain't even got a pasture to graze alone. He can't even walk on his feet. He drags himself around in the palms of his hands all the time. I walks around on all fours like a dog. I said, you don't want no part of him, David. David said, sounds like the kind of fella I'd like to meet. Amen. And he sent his servant after him. Oh, man, he met him down there. And Lodabar had brought him before the king. And Mephibosheth said, who am I that you should even look upon such a dead dog as I am? But the king said, come up here and eat bread at my table continually. He restored all the land of Saul to him, gave him all the servants of Saul. And he said, but as for you, you shall eat bread at my table continually. You remember when you was lost on the backside of the desert with an old garden of 40 acre fields and a dagon? You just went up there back alone.
morning that He sent the servant, that good Holy Ghost, on your way to give you an invitation, have come to the King's table. Oh, I remember that night. He brought a little bread with Him, and the Holy Ghost fed me a little bit, and I had to have more. Thank God, and today I'm saved. I'm eating bread at the King's table. I'll tell you, if you're hungry this morning, if you're lost and hungry, God will fill you off the backside of the desert. If you'll be hungry and thirsty, you shall be filled.
He'll fill us lost. He'll fill us when we're lost on the backside of the desert. I'll say He'll fill us if we're hungry. He'll fill us when we've been living backslidden down in Moab. Ruth chapter number 1, Elimelech and Naomi, they lodge in Chilion. Hit a famine in the days of Bethlehem, Judah. They leave Bethlehem, Judah, go to the land of Moab. There they dwelt 10 years. In that 10 years, Mahlon died, Chilion died, Elimelech died. But their boys, before they died, took Ruth and Orpah and Moabitish girls as daughter-in-laws unto Naomi. Naomi stayed down there 10 years, waiting for the famine in Bethlehem, Judah, to get over with. She dwelt in Moab and lost everything she had. She went out full. The Bible said, and came back home again empty. But while she was down in Bethlehem, Judah, the Bible said that Naomi heard that back home in Bethlehem, Judah, while she was down in Moab, she heard that God was feeding her people some bread. That's when so today, I put the God down in the land of Moab, and the bustling place of Moab this morning, you'd hear my preaching and hear my voice today. God's a feeding His people some bread. Come home, child, come home. And she came back to town, and God gave them bushel baskets full of grain and dropped handfuls of purpose on their lives and fed them to their souls of field. I'll tell you, if you've been living in a backslidden desert of Moab and you feel like you just can't go on another day, you're hungry and thirsty for the things of God and want to get right with the Lord, I know that you want to be in the center of the will of God again. Come home, child. Come back to Bethlehem. There's bread for the hungry. There's bread for your soul. Come home, and God will fill you up. God will fill you up. He will fill you, my friend, when you're lost on the backside of the desert if you're hungry. When you're living backslidden in Moab if you're hungry. I'll say this morning, when you're lowly in tribulation, God will fill you if you're just hungry after righteousness. Matthew chapter number 15, Jesus had taken a journey all the way from the Sea of Galilee up through Capernaum all the way up to the northern part of the land of Palestine, up in the days of what would have been Old Testament Syria, all the way nearly to the Great Sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. And there He preached one sermon or two, and then He turned around and started back towards the Sea of Galilee. And there was this woman that followed Him. The Bible said a woman of Capernaum, which means she was a Gentile. She was probably of idolatrous roots. Her family were probably all idol worshippers, maybe Baal worshippers, because that's what most of everybody in that area was. But she had heard what Jesus could do. And she had heard what Jesus was. And she came to where He was. And she kept bothering Him and His apostles. And told them, my daughter is this. My devil, and I need your help. And did Jesus just kept on walking, waiting to see what reaction His apostles would have. And they finally got so aggravated with her, they told Jesus, said, send her away, that we can be done with her and get rid of her. Finally, they told Jesus, would you do something for her and tell her to go home so she'll quit bothering us? And Jesus looked at her and kind of grabbed home apostle and messaged to His apostles and said, is it me? It's not me for me to give the children's bread and the dogs. But what did she say? She said, yay, my Lord. But even the dogs get eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'll tell you this morning, and Jesus looked at her and said, no greater place than found in Israel. Thy faith be of the other chance. Thy faith be admitted unto you. Thy daughter is made whole from this very hour, my friend. I want to say to you this morning, when you get to the place in your tribulations and your trials and the devil showed you so far, that
sure wouldn't even take the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And your heart's hungry and longing for some help from the Lord. And you feel like your burdens are too heavy to bear. Be persistent in calling on God. And God will fill your need. God will fill your soul. You might be hungry today, but if you'll pray and seek God's face, you can be filled on tomorrow. So be faithful, be persistent, and God will fill you up.
Well, sometimes in battles and struggles and turmoil seem like the bigger what you are. Your storms seem to rage and break the ship into and tear you open. Sometimes it's financial. There's times it seems like maybe the cupboards is bare, that your silo at the house is empty. There's times maybe it seems like it's your battles is greater than what you know what to do with. And maybe they're self-created and maybe they're not. But that don't make them any easier to go through, whether or not whose fault it is. Laying blame at somebody's door don't make your troubles and trials any easier to bear. Somebody said, oh, well, it's their own fault. They made their bed, they ain't laying it. That don't make it any easier to lay in just on account of you made it yourself. Amen. And I mean, those troubles and trials can still be just as heavy. Those burdens can still be just as hard to bear. But I say, if you'll have faith and believe in God, trust God and be persistent, continue to express your faith in Him, ground yourself in His Word, regardless of how many times people try to push you back and say, no, God ain't going to meet the need. God ain't coming through. God's not concerned about your situation. He's not worried about you. He's got bigger problems to bear. No matter how many times they want you to give up, you be persistent, have faith. God will meet the need. Keep hungering. God will fill your soul. God will in the midst of your tribulation, in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of your trials. God's not far off. He's made a journey to Capernaum just for you, to help your soul, and He'll fail you if you'll believe. My friend, there's tribulations and trials you're faced that money can't help. These days, my friend, it wouldn't matter if you had $10 billion. It wouldn't help your troubles one little bit. Somebody said, oh, I might not help my troubles, but it make me be able to suffer through them better. There's times whenever it wouldn't help you suffer through them better. It wouldn't even help your feelings about it. It wouldn't help nothing. It wouldn't matter how much money you had. It wouldn't matter how big a bank account you had. It wouldn't matter how much prestige, popularity, fame that you had. These troubles when you face that, there's none of that stuff can help. My friend, when it's sickness, when it's emotional illness that falls into a family, when it's troubles and struggles with your health, with your bodies, with your spouse, and your children, and the battles that you face with their parents and yours, and the battles that you may face with health or maybe family troubles, it wouldn't matter if it's $10 billion. That wouldn't help that any. Whenever there's somebody that's battling with cancer, or there's problems in somebody's mental well-being somewhere, people get to where they sometimes don't even know who they are. What it is that they've got, how to fix them, the doctors can't do them any good. If you got $10 billion, can buy the finest doctors that man knows. Now, friend, if they can't help, then that money's done you no good. But let me remind you, when the dollars fail you, when the government cannot help, when friends turn their back, when your family gives up hope, when you're just about ready to throw in the towel, God's not lost His strength. He's not out of power. He's not going to forsake you. If you're hungry and thirst, God will fill your need. Woo! He'll fill your cup. And He'll help you when it seems like there is no help. My great-grandmother got in the States. She couldn't even find the bathroom in her own house. Didn't recognize her children or her grandchildren. We led her around by the hand like a little puppy dog. And she didn't even know who she was. And the doctor said that we can't do anything for her. There is no hope. There is no way. There's nothing we can do. But one morning she woke up and she went to the bathroom by herself and she drank her coffee and she called everybody by name. And the doctor
Christian, I don't know what to think about it. And it may not last, so you better enjoy it. That was in 1979. In 1998, she passed away, calling everybody by their first name. I'll tell you what, it seems like nobody can help, and nobody can do any good. God, give me your need and change your situation.
Seemed like the silo's empty this morning. Seemed like the sheep are starving. But I will remind you, the Lord is still my shepherd.
Ooh, I shall not want. He's still my shepherd.
And He's still meeting my needs. He's leading me to green pastures and by the still waters. Restoring my soul. Well, low when you're lowly, if you'll be hungry, when you're lowly in tribulation, God will feed you. When you're lost on the backside of the desert, when you're living backslidden in Moab, when you're lowly in tribulation, if you're hungry, God will fill you up. I want to say this morning, when you're just longing for fellowship, when you're just longing for fellowship, maybe there's not some great crisis in your life. Maybe you haven't been backslid on the Lord. You've been saved for a number of years. But in your heart, you just long one more time. You know, to romance with the sweet Holy Ghost. I'm saying the Lord will fill you up if you're hungry for that. I feel like that old little girl. I don't chew my girl. Over in the book of Song of Solomon, my heart longed for him. His kisses are sweeter than honey. Oh, and more rich than wine to my soul. Oh, she said he came by where I was and said he put his hand over the hole in the door. That is where they'd look through to identify who it was on the other side. Said he didn't show his face. He just put his hand up on it. And the perfume dipped off of his fingers. And I knew it was my beloved. Oh, I'm telling you, if you're just long and down deep in your heart, what fellowship with the sweet Holy Ghost. One more time to feel his heavenly dove. A flutter across your soul. And bring sweet peace to you like you've not known him some days. If you'll hunger and thirst for it, sure you shall be filled. Come, let you have it. Come, let you experience it again like you have in days past. Oh, my Lord. Just longing for fellowship. Mark chapter number 6, Jesus has walked out with his apostles after John the Baptist has had his head cut off. He goes into a secluded location to pray with his apostles. But there's a crowd of the people there, many of the people of the area saw him and they sought to follow him. And they followed him all the way through the woods and over the rivers and out in the middle of the wilderness. And they sat on that hill in the middle of the wilderness just to see where Jesus was and what he was doing, just for one chance to fellowship with him. His apostles said, Lord, it's coming at the evening time. Tell these people to go away into the villages and get them something to eat. We don't have enough to feed them. And they'll all go without if they try to stay right here. Jesus said, what do you have? They said, we've just got 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. He said, bring them to me. And Jesus break it, and he blessed it. And they passed it out, and all of them ate till they were filled. And they gathered up the fragments, 12 baskets full of those grass. And all of that crowd that went out in the wilderness to follow Jesus, just to get a chance to fellowship with him. Just for a few minutes, the apostles said, we don't have enough to go around. There's not enough for everybody. There's not enough. You can't get around everybody, Jesus. And we don't have enough bread to fill everybody up. Jesus said, oh, son, you just don't understand. I am the bread of life. I'll tell you, never sometimes have you ever been in church and seen like it's on this side to being blessed and then on that side to being blessed. But on my pew, it's cold. And on my pew, there is no bread. And where I was sitting, there's not any blessings. Oh, but I want to remind you, little as much when God sent it. This morning, if you're hungry and thirst for it, God can break the bread and pass it out and feed your hungry soul and fellowship with you individually. You don't have to watch just somebody else eat, but your soul can be filled with fellowship. Your soul can be filled with joy if you'll simply long for fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Father. Empty silos and starve a sheep. If you're hungry this morning, you're blessed.
If you're thirsty this morning, you're blessed. For if you're hungry and if you're thirsty, you shall be filled. If you're not hungry this morning, you've got bigger problems than what you know of. You've got bigger problems than I can address. And you need to pray God to give you a hunger and a thirst and a longing for the things of God. I'm done preaching. Come on, let's go. Do you feel hungry for the sweet manna from heaven? Feel like you're stumbling around in the wilderness of empty silos and starving sheep? Do you need for God to send you a batch of bread from heaven? You feel like Elijah sitting over there up under the juniper tree saying, there's not another one. I'm the only Christian there is. Old Jezebel's going to kill me, and then that'll be the end. God will send by an angel to you like he did old Elijah with a cake of bread in his hand and some meat baked by the Lord and say, arise and be of thy way. He can feed your soul this morning. Are you hungry for sweet manna? Is your soul famished in the land of no pasture, the land of no bread? Have you ever been to the master fable in salvation? Has it been some time since you last ate bread in Bethlehem? Have the tribulations and burdens of this life made your silos desolate and your barns to be fallen down and empty and the grain and corn to be spent? Are you just longing once more just to hear Him whisper to your soul and tell you how much He loves you? Are you longing once more just to fellowship with the Master? Are you a starving sheep longing for bread? There's plenty for you at the feet of Jesus. Will you come to the Master's table and dine? Sit at the King's table and eat bread continually. Oh, it's already baked and it's already ready for you. All the Master is doing is standing, sending out of His sweet Holy Ghost this morning and a prick in the hearts and souls of people saying, come and dine, children. Just come and dine. You need to stand. Some of you may need to come. Do business for the Lord this morning. You come, do business with Him. I wouldn't wait till they started singing the first word of the first verse. I've just come to do business with God this morning. Go ahead, dear brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And all the day